So what do you do when you have nothing to do? Well, one of the things that we did was go to a movie. And as we were going to the movies, we had a choice of what movie to go see. We got to the movie theater and there was a poster of one movie that had a person and a dog in a car riding together. And we discussed what movie to go see, and I said, you know what? I'll go see any movie here today, but I will not go see the one with the dog in the car, because I don't need to see the movie to know how it ends. That always, those movies always end with the death of the dog or something really sad happening at the end, right? Think of it, if you've seen the movie Marley and Me, I love people, but man, I was devastated when the dog died in that movie, when Marley died. So when we chose, I said, no way, I'm not going to see that movie. I'll just cry my eyes out. Can't go see that. So we saw a movie that was a movie about human beings, and it had emotional parts in it. But you know what? I really didn't have any kind of reaction. I didn't cry. I didn't cry during that movie. Why is it that a dog movie will make us cry, but a person movie doesn't? That's a good question, right? You know, and in movies, we always know the good character, right? The hero will oftentimes have a time where they pet the dog, right? If somebody pets the dog or does something nice for a dog, you know they're the hero in the story. If they kick the dog, they're the bad guy. Or like Clint Eastwood, they spit on the dog, right? In Outlaw Josie Wales. That's generally a bad guy. Well, Jesus knows this about our personalities and taps into this element for the story today. It's our blind spot. We love our cats and our dogs and our animals. Some people nowadays are even foregoing children and they're just naming their pets their babies. I hear that is a trend. And I love animals. I love cats and dogs. But our failure as human beings is to treat people as well as we treat our animals. We have lots of excuses. For the leader of the synagogue, the excuse was that this was the wrong time and place to treat someone nice like Jesus did. Healing is work, and work is for Monday through Friday, or Sunday, in their case, Sunday through Friday, and Friday and Saturday is for the Sabbath. All this is getting in the way of Sabbath rest and what we've got going on the synagogue today. So come to this place to learn about compassion, but don't practice it. So when Jesus calls out the authorities in the synagogue for hypocrisy, he's calling us out too. See, the law said it was okay, as they had interpreted the law. The law said it was okay to tend to your animals on the Sabbath day. You could walk a certain distance as long as you were going to the synagogue. But somehow, tending to the needs of people through interpretation had twisted the original purposes of the Sabbath, and now you couldn't heal on the Sabbath. God wants us to love people more than we love our animals. I'm sure animals don't give us grief or talk back or argue or fight with us or want something that we don't. Maybe that's why it's easier. But really, it's not about the animals, is it? Jesus is saying that somehow being a proper person in church, being a Christian, often leads us to ignore the people that are right in front of us. Jesus saw across the room and called to the woman who needed him to say that he cared for her. Luke gives us the picture of Jesus healing, seeing through the emptiness that often pervades our religion and the practices of our faith. How was this woman missed and not cared for? Jesus saw her and called to her. He didn't come to the synagogue to be seen. He came to the synagogue to minister and touch. He came to be there for her. He was God's agent of healing. He was God's agent to set her free. Do we extend our love and charity and hope to those with none? This woman was faithful. She came to church despite her L-shaped body, despite her infirmity. The last week of my sabbatical, I visited a Cistercian monastery in Berryville, Virginia. The monks there are very faithful. They worship five times a day. One of those times is at 3:30 in the morning. I made it to one of those worship services. But they do this from the time they join until their death. The oldest monk there, and by oldest meaning the monk who had been a monk the longest, came in to worship each day in an L shape like this woman. Despite his pain and physical limitations, he came to pray and faithfully live his faith every day. I dare say that Jesus comes into the chapel there and calls to this brother that he sees him. When we come to church, we come to worship and praise God. But sometimes we come here in need of great healing. Sometimes we come here to be agents of God's healing. And Jesus sends us among God's people as agents of healing to care for others and to love God's people. Our faith, God's word, shows us the need that people have for God. Jesus reaches down to show us how to love God and how to love our neighbor. There are two words in this text that mean a lot. The first is the Greek word for "it is necessary." It's translated here in the NRSV as "ought." The "ought" of the leader of the synagogue states the rule of working 6 days, which is what one of the Ten Commandments starts out as. That's how the commandment's worded. But then it classifies healing. And in Jesus' case, even effortless healing is work. The rules have begun to get in the way of themselves here. The Sabbath is for finding God. As Jesus said, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath is for us. Coming to worship and gathering together should allow folks the space to find God. The purpose for gathering once every 7 days is to find, encounter, worship, and be changed by God for the better. God intends to change each of us here. And we can get distracted in one of two ways. First, we find that we do too much on the Sabbath. The Sabbath does become kind of a work day, doesn't it? It becomes a day when we want to get things done. Or we come here and we don't really believe that God can change or use us. In contrast to the way that the leader of the synagogue uses the word ought, Jesus says ought, that ought she not be set free on the Sabbath. This is the true purpose of every Sabbath day that we have, that God sets us free from sin and bondage, that God gives us new freedom. The church and the Sabbath becomes a place and a time to encounter God's love. So it's not a place for more rules, but a place for being set free from what oppresses us. It may be more than an illness. In this woman's case, it may be because she was a woman and was ignored for that. It may be our past or our current struggles in the world. Spiritual oppression is everywhere, and this is where we fight it. Our world has plenty of places for evil. This is the place for good. And this is the place for knowing that God loves. You don't need to earn it. It's given. And this is the place to remind you. So the other Greek word was a word that I first learned when I first learned ancient Greek. We were sitting in the classroom and we'd been through maybe two lessons in the book. And all of our sentences had to do with goats because that was a word that we knew. Goats. And then there were only a couple of verbs that we knew, so we could either sacrifice the goats or we could set the goats free. That's the word that's used here in this passage of setting this woman free, to unbind her and to unbind them. So when I hear this passage and look at it, my ears perk up because this is literally about setting someone free, even more than healing them. Setting them free. When Jesus talks about the woman in the story, it is physical and spiritual. Her body is clearly causing her pain, and Jesus does not want that. Jesus is there with her in her suffering. I heard a story recently that said, that was talking about the difference between men and women when it comes to going to the doctor, and how oftentimes the pain and the issues of women are not understood by the medical profession or ignored. Jesus has compassion for her pain. Jesus has a kind of empathy that's genuine and far-reaching. This woman has clearly developed this issue over the years. She wasn't born with it. This isn't genetic. Her body has rebelled against her and made her life tortured and strained. Remember, there's no grocery store for going to get bread. If you're bent over and hunched over, you've got to get food every day. Maybe that's why her back is like it is. Jesus sees her and calls to her. Jesus suffers with us and our infirmities and cares for them and ministers to them. He began his ministry with the words of Isaiah, that he came to heal the crippled and the lame. Jesus made those words real in setting her free. The first step was his approach. For us, if we are suffering physically like the woman, Jesus suffers with us. The cross was the ultimate place where he knew human suffering. But even there on the cross, and even here today, his empathy knows the depth of our pain. Jesus is right beside you at the darkest moments. He has not abandoned you in suffering. He is there. Physical healing may not come, but Jesus also came to set us free spiritually also. Jesus wants you to know that he is with our spirit even more than our body. Jesus came that we might have life and life more abundantly. Every physical ailment may not heal. Every spiritual hope and suffering, Jesus does touch. Jesus has called us also as agents of his care and empathy for the world. To come to this place, to put ourselves in the place of the woman in the story if we are suffering. But if we see someone who is suffering, Jesus calls us to put ourselves in his shoes. To be in his place. Jesus has called us to be his agents of healing. Just as God sent Christ into the world to heal, Christ has sent us into the world to heal. Christ is present in you today, in this place and wherever you go throughout the world. For those who need your healing touch, give it. Be a spiritual presence for others and a presence for the love and agape of Jesus Christ. And be there. Because your presence might mean the difference between them feeling abandoned and knowing that they are a son or daughter of Abraham and Christ and God. Let us pray. Lord God, we are so thankful for the touch of Jesus Christ in our lives. For those who are here today who need Christ's touch, may they know and feel him today. And for those who are being called to be sent in his name, give them courage and strength and calm and love to be your ambassadors of love for the world. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, in the power of his Holy Spirit. Amen.